Our reading is page 179 of the New Testament section of the Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches in Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on your part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus that as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking.
Thank you, David. We're going to pick up that reading again and move on another chapter in a moment. But before we do, we're going to take up our offering. And if you're visiting with us, you're welcome to give, but please don't feel any obligation at all. This is normally for regular church attenders.
Chapter 9, verse 1. Now, it is not necessary for me to write to you about the ministry in the saints, for I know your eagerness, which is the subject of my boasting about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty in this case, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as an extortion. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us.
Thank you very much, David. So, two readings which reflect on that call that was given to the church to be generous givers. And we're going to be thinking about that for ourselves in a moment. Let's pray before we do. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the gifts, the offerings that have just been handed in through the baskets and those that have come in through the banking system. Lord, we pray that you would bless the money that is given, that people around the world would benefit from it, and that they would come into a greater relationship with you and know more of the love and peace and harmony and joy that you long to bring. Help us as we reflect on these passages now and as we think together about our response to what you're calling us to. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, can I just check, is the microphone working okay? I heard a little report earlier that it was not so good with the clip mic. Is this coming through okay? Is it a bit ringy? A bit echoey? So perhaps we could turn it down a little bit, Terry, and I'll speak a bit louder. And if that doesn't work, then I've got another option, which is apparently to take off my static jumper and to put my clip on my shirt. So there's various options. If you're here for the first time and you've been invited to church today, or you've just come along and you think, I wonder what it's going to be like, I wonder what the message will be about, And then you've been sitting there and you've heard the words, today we're talking about the topic of giving. I wonder whether you've thought, oh, it's all true. Here we are. Here we are. They're after my money. And sometimes when we come to passages like this that talk about giving, there is that sort of British sense of, is this an appropriate thing to do? I look back through my notes and we have had a series on giving before. If you were here between about March and April 2014, we did a four-part series on the topic of giving and we looked at it in some depth. But you're here 5 years on and you happen to pick this week, okay? So I just want to say that the reason we're talking about giving is actually we're not ashamed about it, because we're going to talk on about the benefits of giving and the call that actually this is something that is what God is calling us to do as followers of him. We've received our envelopes. They've been handed out. David has been waving them around over various weeks. And next week, we have the opportunity to bring our gifts as our gift day, which if you've not been here many times previously, is looking particularly to raise money for our redevelopment project that we're doing, which we've been thinking about for a number of years, really. And next week is the day when we're having our major gift day and the opportunity to respond as God calls us to. But I wonder whether when we think of giving, we think, well, it's a necessary but unpleasant activity. It's something that we just are called to do, and I suppose we better just grin and bear it and get on with it, and there we go. Or do we see it actually as something more spiritual, as an opportunity for thanksgiving, as something that is inspired by God's grace to us in Christ, a recognition of what he has done for us? Because many of us in this room today are followers of Jesus Christ, and many of us know the love and the grace and the equipping and the empowering and the transforming of God, his touch upon our lives. Many of us would look to Jesus and say, we have experienced the love of Jesus. We have experienced his sacrifice, his mercy, his forgiveness, his cleansing, and the realization that we owe him our very selves. That's how we come as those who are followers of Jesus Christ today. And so in the light of that, giving becomes not a burden or something that is an unnecessary sort of inconvenience, but it comes to us as a response, a recognition of the love of God in our lives, a recognition of how he has blessed us and transformed us, how he has given us so many good things, and in response to what he has done for us, because he first loved us. So our giving comes not as a burden or a grudge, but as a thankful response from a thankful and praising heart in gratitude for all that he has done. And so I want to say that if you don't yet know God in that way, and as church we love to welcome people at all stages of faith. So there are some here who have known Jesus for many years, have been following him, have been serving him for decades. But there are some here who may be saying, well, I'm here because I don't actually know if there is a God, and I'm just kind of interested to explore. I know a few people who call themselves Christians, Jesus followers, and I see something in them that I find attractive, and maybe I just want to explore this a bit more. So if you're at a place where you're not saying, actually, Jesus is recognized as my own personal Lord and Savior, then can I encourage you during this service to be thinking about those things that I've just said? To be thinking about the love and the mercy and the forgiveness and all the wonderful things that God loves to pour into our hearts and lives. And can I say, can you start there? And what we're talking about now in terms of giving financially, it may be that for you today it's not quite relevant for where you're at in your own thinking about God. But start with the blessings of what God has done for you. Start thinking about all the ways that he has given through Jesus, through creation, through other people, through the Bible. So many wonderful opportunities to explore about a relationship with him and start in that place and just allow us the grace to keep on talking about the giving we're talking about today. But get to know God as a priority. That is the first point. That is the stand on which everything else is based, on which we're talking about today. And if at some point you fancy giving at a future date, then great, but that's up to you and between you and God. As Christians, we recognise that our resources come from God and belong to God, and that we are entrusted with those resources as stewards. That it is really on God's behalf that we are giving this. And generously, we are giving back to God. And if we start to see wealth in that way, that actually it's about us giving back to God something that we have been entrusted with temporarily whilst we are on this earth as mortals, then giving becomes an attitude of stewardship rather than about donation. It's not about saying, what can I give that I have earned myself that comes from me? It's about saying, actually, God has given me all good gifts. I have been entrusted with them. I'm called to steward them. And from those gifts that I am stewarding, so I have the opportunity to seek to use them in ways that honour God. In the letter that has been sent out from David on behalf of the church and the leadership here, there have been some figures that have been mentioned that are large figures. And it's been very helpful. David has sort of divided up the amount that we're looking to raise and said, well, actually, if all the regular attendees gave that amount, divided it up, it would be this amount. But maybe it doesn't work quite like that, because some of us might be on benefits. Some of us might be unemployed. Some of us might be hugely rich and wondering what to do with our money. And there's all they're all sort of people in this room, I guess. And so there are figures mentioned that are large figures, and you may look at them and they might be a bit eye-watering and think, what? But for some of us, that might be, well, I say us, some people in this room, it might be the opportunity to recognise that there are figures of wealth that you think, actually, God is calling me to a figure like that. But for some, as you're reading the letter, you might think, well, you know, I would just love to give. I would love to give. I'd love to have that kind of money to give, but I haven't got it. I'd love to. It's all about attitude. It's about the attitude of the heart. And if you're feeling that actually at this point in your life's journey, you feel actually that life is a struggle financially, then can I encourage us? Because this is about an act of worship and about an act of love. Jesus told used a wonderful illustration in Mark 12, Luke 21. He looked at a woman who came into the temple, and she had seemingly two little copper coins. And people came up and they were sort of queuing in front of her to pour out their lavish wealth and in their robes, and they poured it all in and, look at me, what a wonderful gift I'm making, how wonderful. And in shuffled this widow with her two little coins and threw them into the temple offering. And Jesus talked to his disciples and said, you see that lady there? She has given more than all. Well, she's given two copper coins. And they've given huge amounts. How can she have given more than all? She's given more than all because she gave all she had. She gave out of her love. She gave out of a desire to worship God. And the financial amount to Jesus was almost an irrelevance. It was about a heart attitude. And Jesus looked at her and said, she is an example for us. She is someone who has given her all. And so it's not about the amount of the noughts or whatever. It's about the heart attitude primarily when we're coming to think about giving. And we're not ashamed to talk about it because ultimately it's an act of worship. It can also be an act of mission, a form of ministry. Really what we're doing is we're saying to each of us here, it's an opportunity to participate. It's an opportunity to stand shoulder to shoulder together and say, let's participate together as church in this mission that God has called us to participate in the vision and mission of the church. Ministry opportunity. I sat with Louise in the pastor's office just a few days ago, and we were looking out of the window, and I was just saying to Louise, it really frustrates me at times when you just see Didcot Girls' School coming out, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of girls just walking past within feet of the building. And I just think, what are we doing to support them? Now, at times, you know, we do go in, sometimes go in and done talks at Didcot Girls School and so on. But day after day, they're coming past. And I would love us as a church to be able to sort of fling open the car park and the doors and say, you know, look, come in. It's a sunny day. Look, here you are. Let's bless you with some ice lollies. Or it's a cold winter's day. You've just finished your term. Come and have a hot chocolate. And just to have that opportunity to engage with people and see it as a mission opportunity. On Tuesday, I went to an event and had the pleasure of meeting one of the deputy lieutenants of Oxfordshire. And she's very involved in lots of the things that are going on. And she said, what do you think are the main activities that we can be supporting children and young people within DigCot? And I responded to that question. But the opportunity to think through, here is someone who's coming in from the outside, as it were, and saying, how can we serve these people in DigCot? And they're coming to church and saying, from your experience, from your opportunity, from what you can offer, what do you think we could be doing? There are mission opportunities, and that is why we're saying, as we're asking for money, it's not about just bricks, it's about an opportunity to share in mission, to share in vision, it's about participation. And it's about enrichment. Did you hear those words as David read a moment ago? You'll be enriched in every way for your great generosity. You won't become poorer as you give money. It's a strange dichotomy. It's a bit of a strange thing. As you give money, so you'll become richer. Well, maybe the bank balance will go down, but we'll become richer. We'll become richer in all that God wants us to be. You'll be enriched in every way for your great generosity. It will affect us. We'll be changed through the act of generous giving. And so the ripples of beauty go out further as well. You'll be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. As we give next week, we're anticipating that there will be thanksgiving to God from others through us. Is that just a bit poetic? Sounds nice, doesn't it? That through our giving, others will be, there'll be ripples of thanksgiving going out to God. Is that just a poetry? Well, no, it's not. Not at all. Let me show some photos. This is 1938. This is the laying of the foundation stone and DigCot Baptist Church. So, Kate, can I just check? That's your house, isn't it? That's it. So, so just to get your bearings, so the house on the picture is just there. And we're looking at people standing in front of the church that was laying the foundation stone. And there was an opening ceremony that took place. And there we are. The front's changed slightly, but you'll probably recognise it with the old sort of facade that that was originally there. And then people spoke at that occasion as well. And this is Harry Lewis. Here's a photo. You've heard of the Harry Lewis Hall. This is Harry Lewis. And here are others thinking about the worship area and thinking about, in effect, where we are sitting today. In 1938, they could have read these words. You'll be enriched in every way through your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. And as they gave their pounds, shillings and pence, I wonder if they really anticipated the thanksgiving to God that would come through their acts of giving. Not hypothetical, not poetry, but real thanksgiving to God. I am so thankful to God. Can you imagine someone saying that as they stand here on their marriage day? I'm so thankful to God for this day. As they stand here in the baptistry pool, I'm so thankful to God for leading me to this place of baptism. As they come and share together in funerals and thanksgiving services, I'm so thankful to God to share with you all on this day of grief. Real, genuine thanksgiving to God. Conversions. I'm so thankful to God for the way he called me as I surrendered to him in this place. I can remember where I was sitting. Calls to service. I'm so thankful to God for the way he spoke to me on that day. That day that changed my life and sent me off in a different direction in service. I'm so thankful to God. Things that have happened in this space. Genuine, real thankfulness to God. Could Harry Lewis and his contemporaries have really anticipated the multitude of ways in which God would speak to people, minister to them, minister through their lives in a thousand ways? And for the mathematicians here, that's about one a month. One time of God a month speaking to some one person in this place in a way that changes them and transforms them. 1,000 people, pretty much. So grateful to God. So thankful to God. And what are the continued opportunities as well to reach out? So they went from here and we've seen Harry Lewis. What about the Harry Lewis Hall? This is a photo of the Harry Lewis Hall. You think, well, that doesn't look like that. What? Don't get that. Where is it? And then we looked at the next photo, and there was a link-up. And so if you just go back one, Colin, so that was Harry Lewis Hall, originally separate, and then the next one was the link-up. And for many of us, the Harry Lewis Hall is a place where, because people gave sacrificially decades ago, numerous activities can take place through their giving. Coffee break, girls' brigade, welcome break, junior church, toddler group, football after church on Sundays, community activities, baby group, come create events like the one on Saturday, conversations over refreshments, international lunches like the one we're going to have in 2 weeks' time. Did they realise, those who gave at that time, did they realise the blessing that would be given, the numerous ways that their great generosity would produce thanksgiving to God through them? And it's not just about then, was it? I mean, we're talking about decades ago, and the blessings are still going on week after week. I watched DIY SOS some weeks ago, and they've been celebrating 20 years, their anniversary. And Nick Knowles went round to quite a number of the places that they'd visited, and they'd done up homes and houses. And one of the ladies that she spoke to was pretty much in tears, and she said, "I don't think people understand that 7 years on," which is when they did the original episode, "that 7 years on, how much I'm just still benefiting from it these years on." And I think each of them could have said the same. That opportunity to continue to realise that blessing comes that can last for decades. And now it's our time. It's our time to step up. We've been blessed. It's our time to seek to bless others as well. Time not to give grudgingly, but to give as a celebration, to give as a realisation that we are partnering with each other and partnering with the Harry Lewises from the past and the ladies, Sister Hilda and so on, who were here. We're partnering with them in this mission of Didcot Baptist Church for future generations and decades as well. We are having the opportunity to know blessing. There will be dust, and there will be inconvenience, and I think I just want to say that is a reality. But it was reality for them as well. Look at these photos. Here we go. That's the link up to the Harry Lewis Hall, all dust and bricks and scaffolding. And if we think about the link corridor, there it is, inconveniencing the garden, cement mixers, all the rest of it. And it's gritty, isn't it? It's real. It's just kind of dusty and inconvenient. And yet, the benefits. And we can see the benefits. I mean, even in this room, if you would have gone back just a couple of years ago, this is what you'd have seen. And we said, well, how about we have a refurbishment opportunity? How about we give for some new chairs, for sprucing up, a bit of decorating? And this is now what we see. It's an opportunity to realise that blessing comes as we are generous with what God has given us. And there will be challenges as well. In a church magazine letter, I think it was back in March, I wrote this. "Whenever a new sports hall is opened, it looks pristine. The walls are beautifully clean and crisp, and it almost seems a shame to ruin it by allowing people in who are likely to cause scuff marks across the walls. But that's where the life is. It's in the allowing of activities that the purpose of the hall is fulfilled, and it's prevented from merely being mothballed. Similarly, the patina on antiques, or patina, is caused by wear and tear, and that can actually add value to a piece of antique, as it conveys authenticity. It tells a story of how the item has been valued and used over the years. It's the worn parts of an ancient stone staircase that best tell their story. As we provide new premises, so the reality is that groups are going to come in from outside and they are going to scuff the walls. And at times there might be damage caused, which we find inconvenient. But as they come in, so too, they have the opportunity to find out more about church, to encounter Christians, to think about when a time of crisis comes, where are they going to turn? Well, what about that building where we go to that group? It's an opportunity to share in mission. We've already hit the press some months ago, and I brought this to the church meeting at the time. We were described as a dull and anonymous South Oxfordshire church. That's how the paper talked about us, a dull and anonymous church. I thought, really? I'd love to get the editor to come back. And I think, actually, to be fair to them, it was based partly on one of the reviews that had been written that went out, and they'd taken some quotes. But as people go past, maybe they think that. Maybe they think, that looks a dull building. Didn't even know it was there, to be honest. It's anonymous. And I want people to know, and I'm sure we want people to know, the vitality of our faith. We want people to know about life, about love, about hope, about forgiveness, about relationship with Jesus. We want people to recognise that actually we are involved in a vision project, not just a building project. We're involved in welcoming people. We're involved in making Jesus known. We're involved in having that opportunity to follow Jesus. All of these things as people have the opportunity to come and to find out more about church. We need to be praying about this because there is always a challenge. There will always be the opportunity to spend money in a variety of ways. And sometimes we can't give. But sometimes there will be that question where we think, well, actually, it's about standard of living. And maybe when we get to that sort of phrase about a high standard of living, we need to just think, well, that's actually a bit different to can't do it. That's a choice. That's a choice that actually I've already got 78 DVDs, but I want 79. I've already got 106 CDs, but I want one more. I only changed the carpet 2 years ago, but I don't like the colour. It's about choice. And maybe for us, we need to be praying that God will be working in our lives to change our heart and our attitude, to say, what are kingdom values? If we look to ourselves and look inward, then if we imagine this as representation of ourselves, then as we look inward, so this is what happens. We just keep on looking inside and to ourselves, and somehow it just gets smaller and smaller and restricted. If we're praying for kingdom values and that God would be at work in our response to him in so many different ways here and around the world, so this is what happens. We start to look outward and we suddenly realise that there is so much opportunity for limitless blessing as God is at work within us. It's about having that opportunity to invest in those things that truly make a difference. By calling us to commitment to this, we're calling each other to investment. We're calling for the investment that people will come through the premises here to come to know Jesus. Giving in this way helps make visible the kingdom that is already here. It helps to allow the life of Jesus to be known not only in this place and through us, but in the world in which God has placed us and called us to go and make disciples of all nations. We're giving to the Son of God, who has given everything that we need and so much more for us because of his love for us. Let's pause for a moment. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We thank you for the life that you have given us. We thank you for the love that you shower upon us. And we thank you, Lord, that you call us to participation with you. It's a huge concept to recognize that we are able to be involved in your kingdom purposes. And Lord, in the coming days, as we prepare for what comes next Sunday and for the gift day, so we pray that you would help us to be praying. Help us to be opening our hearts to you, to say, how do you want us to participate in this? What is it you're calling me to do? And Lord, that may lead to varying amounts financially. But Lord, what we're interested in is our heart attitude, because that's what you're interested in. Lord, we pray that you would melt our hearts, that you would allow us to be those who hear from you and be guided by you in this work of participation and mission and vision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.